Welcome back to the Ignite podcast. Today, we're delighted to have our first repeat guest, Atul Raghunathan. He was way back on episodes 2. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you can go back and check it out. We were talking about his startup Hyperbound, which came out of YC. And Atul, welcome back to the program. For anyone that didn't listen to the first episode, why don't you give a quick intro?
Absolutely. I'm Atul. I'm the CTO here at Hyperbound. And honestly, so much has changed since that previous podcast, right? Back the first time that I talked to you, we were working on an email personalization product. Now, Hyperbound is a AI role play platform, so somewhat like in the sales coaching space. So yeah, really excited to get into it today.
That's amazing. So walk us through kind of the genesis. If I recall, you guys pivoted in the program as well in YC. Is that right?
So we did many times. We started off Y Combinator, right? Honestly, I got to go back to the application. So we applied with an idea like phone call optimization, specifically for those automated customer support phone calls, where you call and it makes you push a number and then you wait like 30 minutes on hold. Someone picks up and then, they ask you all this information that you could have filled out in the 30 minutes you were on hold. So we built a product to fix that. That's what we applied with. Before we even got to the Y Combinator interview. So between the application and the interview, we pivoted again to a dev tool product or helping you visualize code. And then we pivoted again by the time we actually started the batch, which is only a week after that, into a product for workplace search, across all your apps, documents, okay, et cetera. Yeah. So, and then we pivoted again into this email personalization product. And we stuck with this one for the longest time, right? So we stuck with that one from basically the third week of the YC batch, which is, midsummer or so, all the way till November. That product was doing great. It was profitable. We had customers, we had interest rolling in. Given how the regulation landscape was changing and given the results that we were seeing with some of our customers, we decided to take the difficult decision to, nip it in the bud. And
let's unpack that early. A bit, right? Because I think when you came on the podcast was probably, October. So a month or two, call it, before the pivot. What changed in the regulatory environment that worried you guys?
Absolutely. So essentially, Google and Yahoo got together. Anyone in the sales space knows this as the outreach email. But Google and Yahoo got together and put out a press release saying that hey, high volume email outbound is essentially going to be discouraged, right? Like anyone with a spam rate over, it was a very small number, I believe it was 0.3%, right? Would end up getting their domain restricted, which is a very, very harsh penalty in the space. And Outreach, who is a email outbound enablement platform, had sent out an email to all of their customers warning them about this upcoming regulatory change. So there was a mild panic in the sales outbound space about this.
And I think we talked about this on the pod. It was, I kind of quipped that maybe it's all just AI talking to AI in the future. And what's more probable though is something Gmail, Yahoo, and Microsoft creating a consortium of we're gonna track these AI personalized emails as spam, and we're gonna figure it out. And and that's what happened, 20 years with email, right? It's you started getting a bunch of spam and they got really good at detecting spam and removing it from your inbox. So it would stand to reason that they would also get pretty good at detecting personalized high volume outreach.
Exactly. Plus they have access to everyone's inbox, which is what makes these they're using the same models we're using to generate the emails to, identify
detect the emails.
So, it's incredible from that and what they're doing. The caveat though is they specified a month later that this doesn't apply to enterprise accounts. So technically folks sending sales emails at high volume still don't have to worry about it.
Right. But it's the personal emails.
The writing is on the wall that, this will be restricted somewhat shortly. Yeah.
So that regulatory risk kind of worried you guys. And then what was the results that were happening? Because initially you had really good results, good revenue, it looked profitable, things like that.
Yeah. So, the results from our customers, the customers asked for something very simple, right? Can you build this type of personalized email? Can you incorporate this information? Can you do this and this and this, right? So that's where we excelled. We were flying colors there. As far as the actual email quality was concerned, we were at the top of our game, right? No issues there. What concerned us was the improvement in actual response rate that we saw as a result of doing exactly what our customers wanted from the email perspective, right? So
yeah, even though, rephrase that. I kind of missed it.
Oh, yeah, no worries. So basically, like, our customers were asking for specific personalizations. They're asking for, you know, to incorporate this piece of information, to talk about this, to, like, you know, figure out whether this prospect had this specific pain point and work that into the email. So we were doing exactly what our customers wanted from that perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So we were sending out really high quality personalized emails that met our customer standards for, you know, like a handwritten outreach, essentially. And that wasn't enough to lift the email response rates by a significant enough margin to justify the cost of our product.
Mm. I had I don't remember if it was you, but I think it was somebody, and I was just discussing with my wife who has a marketing background, and I built MarTech products as well for years, ad tech, MarTech, sales tech products. I'm very familiar with the space. Somebody else, one of my podcast episodes, I forget which one, was like, you can personalize your outreach, but fundamentally, you know, people are in the market or not. They may respond at a higher rate, but they're just in the market or they're not. And so maybe the personalized outreach, maybe at the bottom of the funnel, has an impact, but maybe not.
No, absolutely. So we know that personalized outreach does work. The thing that you need to incorporate in there is the prospecting flow as well, right? Mm. Like, the prospecting needs to be a part of, like, this holistic personalized outreach. And that was something that we had a very hard time controlling for some of these industries. We asked our customers about it, and right, like, they were all using super domain specific ways of doing this prospecting. And we realized that, hey, you know, this isn't the most scalable way to move forward. Mm. We could go build custom prospecting engines for each, you know, customer in each
vertical.
Domain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could even pick a vertical and, you know, get really niche.
I faced the same problem because I built a sales chatbot with, you know, really rudimentary technology back at Conversica, you know, 70 years ago. And our initial industry was automobile dealerships, right? So they generate leads and they need to follow up on those leads and try to schedule an appointment. And it was a very refined flow. Give me a price on this car. Like, oh, great. When can you come in and, you know, take a look at it? You know, like that kind of decision tree. But, you know, when you try to apply that to different verticals, it kind of, you know, to your point, it completely breaks. And now you have to go back and retrain all the models, retrain all the conversational branching for a new domain.
Exactly. Exactly. So we never stopped selling that product. We were like, okay, cool. Like, we are going to continue supporting this product, see what we can do on this. But also, let's go and explore some of the other interesting ideas that came up from our customers from our customers who are currently purchasing this product from us, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what other pain points they have related to, you know, this realm. And, you know, we explored a bunch of ideas, right? Everything from, like, optimizing marketing attribution to, you know, like, building, like, AI personalized role plays. But the one that got, like, sincerely way more excitement and response, like, it was the inklings of what felt like something that could be PMF, you know, was this, role play simulator. Because it is such a huge pain point to train your SDR. Like, people don't realize this, especially larger organizations, but it takes up all your manager's time. You have dedicated folks on this, and your SDR is still trained within a year anyway. So you spent 3 months, like, training them. You know, you spent a lot of time, like...
Yeah, they're effective for 6 months, and then the last 3 months, they're ineffective because they're looking for other jobs because they're ready to move on to, like, an account exec role.
Exactly. It's hard, right? Because these are, even with the most driven folks, right? Like, training is going to be an issue because even if they're willing to, like, self-enable, you still need to onboard them under the specifics of your company. So it's just a very time-consuming thing that we're like, hey, we could step in here.
Mm-hmm. So kind of what was that first inkling? So you discovered this problem. You're talking to customers.
With it.
To walk us through that process of discovery and the aha moment.
So the aha moment actually happened in person at a conference, right? I was at a roundtable discussion. It was me and six CMOs. I don't know how I got myself into this into the setup, but you know, it was very, very nice that I was there. So we were like, I first tried pitching the email personalization product, and you know, everyone's like, "Oh, we've seen a million of these." Like, you know, like, I know you guys are doing something better, but like, it still doesn't matter. So I was like, "Okay, cool. I'm not even going to mention that for the rest of this roundtable. Like, I want to hear Like, you know, what can I explore with these folks? So I was just like running through some of the ideas that we'd heard from other folks, you know, from our current customers. And I was just like, cool, like, give me like 2 minutes here. I'm just going to like try to pitch a couple things at you. Like, let me know what sticks. As soon as I mentioned the role play simulations, the question was, that's possible. Like, you can do that. Could I try it out with my team tomorrow? Right. Mm. And we're like, oh, we haven't built it yet. But yes, you can try it out with your team tomorrow. Like, you know, give me a night and I'll build your prototype. So yeah, the room just lit up. Like, everyone at that round table was just like palpably excited about it in a way that I've never experienced before. And yeah, we showed
I mean, if you think about the CMO, the bane of their existence is generating leads that are not followed up on in a timely and orderly fashion. And I butted heads when I ran demand gen at a startup. I won't name names, but I was generating tons of great leads. And she's like, you're generating too many leads. And I go, okay, what I'm hearing is you don't have enough people to follow up on my leads. She goes, no, your leads suck, you know? And I'm like, but these are people that, you know, went through all the effort to fill out a form that they're interested in our product. And you should follow up on them, you know? And I realized in that process that, you know, we had to have a better way of, you know, dripping out lifecycle email marketing material and onboarding automatically. And then, to your point, probably training the SDRs at a higher rate and scale. So yeah, how's it been going since then? So when was this conference?
This conference was in November, right? So like, we were still supporting the other product at this point, but you know,
about
four
months
this.
Ago for the audience that might be listening to this in like, you know,
oh man, it's
month.
March. Oh my God, it's been a
March
while.
March of 2024 as we record, yeah.
it's felt like a whirlwind since then, seriously. Yeah, so mid-November or so was this conference. We were exploring that idea for a little while longer, and then we really landed on the like sales enablement and sales development community on LinkedIn. We ended up like booking hundreds of user interviews with like thought leaders in the space, with like actual end users, and eventually we ended up launching the product. And building this somewhat of a community by like mid-January or so. Wow. Right. Wow. So pretty quick turnaround.
Zero to one in a couple months over the holiday period from a roundtable discussion at a conference.
Yeah. We basically launched it feels very similar to the product that we have today, but under the hood, I can tell you everything was hard-coded. It was completely an MVP.
Yeah.
So the end user experience
is
the same.
If this, then that, else this, kind of nested logic
actually,
statements.
It's a little bit more intricate than that. So basically, right, coming up with a configuration for one of these AI bots that speaks to you, right? Yeah. It could either be something as simple as, oh, you put in like, you know, the person you want to speak to and some pain points and it spits out a configuration. Or, you know, you go in and you manually describe how it should react to like X, Y, and Z situations. Mm. So you spend like all this time writing a very detailed configuration, right?
Yeah.
In fact, when we launched the product in January, it was still taking me 8 hours to write each configuration for a bot that showed up on our website. So now it's down to under 2 minutes. So like when we launched this like really rudimentary version from the back end, like up in January, and it's evolved so much since then. But yeah, when we launched that and we let, you know, the internet at large try it, it went viral, like seriously viral on LinkedIn.
That's amazing. Well,
yeah.
Maybe could we see a demo of it? Is that possible?
Absolutely. The one thing
this is a visual
a little
podcast,
bit concerned
so we could actually kind
about
of, yeah.
is audio sharing from.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Through Riverside.
So it's an audio interface. That was going to be another question: is it an audio interface of the salesperson talking to a bot and the bot talks back in a human voice?
Yes. Okay, cool. There is a button here and a shared tab audio. So here, let me just get it pulled up right here.
Yeah,
this would
be interesting. You can train me in sales.
Do you want to do a sales call? Oh, man. Here, let me.
All right, guys. I'm about to tell you how the future of cold calling is going to go. No longer will we have to do stupid, silly role plays with peers and managers and waste a bunch of time with unrealistic scenarios, only using the objections that we know of because we're only salespeople. But anyways, look, I'm not even going to get all fluffy with you. We're just going to get straight to it. This is exactly how cold calling is going to look in the future. Let's get to it. All I'm going to do is push this button right here, and we're going to see what these folks at Hyperbound have been working on. So I'm going to click start call. Let's see. Give it a sec to load here. And in a moment, we're going to have a cold call with Mr. Kurt, who is a data engineering manager, as you guys can see. Hello?
Who's this?
Hey, Kurt, this is Danilo Kaprick. I was actually giving you a call because I listened to a podcast recently where your CTO was talking about reducing overall costs for processing data. He even mentioned that your board was starting to question why the cost was so high. Is this something he's brought up to you?
Podcast? I don't know what you're talking about. Get to your point.
Well, it seems like reducing data processing costs is a board level thing now for you guys. And I was just curious if you're looking for ways to do that and maybe what you've tried so far.
Look, I'm not sure why you're asking about this. What are you selling?
Have you ever heard of Databricks?
Yeah, I've heard of Databricks. What about it?
So I work with Databricks, and we're basically helping companies like yourself reduce the number of tools that they have in their data stack, but also reduce the cost to process data. A lot of other outcomes that we could talk about, but it seems like reducing costs is top of mind your CTO. So I wanted to see if you'd be open to discussing exactly how we could help you reduce costs, specifically on the ETL side of your business. Is that something you'd be open to?
Look, I'm not into these sneaky sales tactics. My CTO hasn't mentioned anything about Databricks to me. Now, what's this call really about?
I mean, that's what the gist is here, Kurt. We're trying to see if we can help you reduce your overall cost when it comes to data, but also help you get into predictive analytics, right? Based on my research, it seems like the customers you serve are in the IT space, and maybe they're interested in making some predictions, or also maybe you guys are interested in making predictions internally about, for example, when a customer is likely to churn, or maybe when a customer is most ripe for an upselling opportunity. Are there predictive analytics use cases that perhaps you're being asked to bring to the table?
Predictive analytics? That's a bunch of buzzwords. What kind of guarantee you got that Databricks will even actually work? Look, we're already overloaded with tools and stuff. I ain't keen on adding more unless they're really worth it. Now tell me, why should I care about your Databricks?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, we could help you reduce costs. Number two, we could help you have a platform where you bring all of your use cases under one roof, instead of having to use a bunch of point solutions. And then number three, for your team, imagine if they could easily collaborate and share data assets without having to tap other folks on the shoulder and be able to just work a lot more efficiently. So those are some of the things that I would like to talk about you with and show you on a broader call if you're open to it.
Reducing costs and improving collaboration, huh? That's what every salesperson says. How do I know your platform is any different? Can you give me some concrete examples of how Databricks has helped companies like mine, and how much is this going to cost me?
Sure, but I don't have those offhand. So how about this? Why don't I arrive to our meeting with some specific case studies? I can send you some bullet points beforehand just so you're prepped, and we can walk through exactly how we're differentiated from other platforms in the market.
Sure. Sounds like a plan. Send me those case studies and bullet points. But I got to warn you, I'm not easily impressed, and I still need to know more about the pricing. So don't waste my time.
You shouldn't be easily impressed, Kurt. I'm glad you're not. And I can also bring some information around how we handle pricing. But why don't we go ahead and lock in Monday, the 22nd at 10 a.m. if you're open.
Monday at 10 a.m. works for me. Send me the request and I'll join. And don't forget those case studies. Goodbye.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Kurt. Appreciate it. Guys, wasn't that so cool? Like, this is a bot that is programmed to be a data engineering leader, and I sell Databricks, so this is perfect practice for me to talk to folks like this. He knew a lot of things about data engineering. He was also really pushy. He didn't want to take the meeting right away. I thought this was pretty realistic. I want to hear what you guys think. Is this what cold calling in the future looks like? Do you think this was crazy? Do you think this was cool? Do you think it was not cool? Let me know what you guys think and we'll go from there. But either way, appreciate you guys tuning in and checking this out.
You make this bot and it's helping train SDRs. How do you measure the effectiveness of the training?
Absolutely. So we've got scorecards, which is really our biggest thing, right? So scorecards that tell you how you're performing on each segment of the call, like, you know, whether you're asking the right discovery questions, whether you're really connecting with the prospect, whether you're getting the right information out of the prospect during the course of the call. And we have like a big analytics pane where managers can come in and see which rep is struggling on which call, speaking to which type of prospect, you know, with what personality. So really like getting it super narrow as to like what their reps need more practice on and helping personalize training regimens around that. So super, super effective as opposed to the standard approach of, okay, now go listen to every call your rep has made, trying to figure out what they're struggling with. I know you have no time already, but you know, make it happen. And what ends up happening is that reps just are left to fend for themselves.
It's amazing. And then how's it going so far? Like how many customers do you have? How are you pricing and all that stuff?
Absolutely. So we just launched the product right mid-January. And since then we've closed 10 customers.
Wow.
So we're nearing like $150K in revenue. And yeah, as far as pricing goes, so we offer a couple of pricing plans. And this is in flux, right? We're trying to figure out like what is the best strategy to price this in the long run. We say like, okay, based off the size of your organization, if you're like roughly 12 person sales organization, here is a flat fee. If you are a 20 to 30 person sales organization, here's another one. If you are, you know, like 35 to 50, here's another, and 50 plus, here's another. Because that's roughly how our infra costs break down as well. So.
Because you're paying for training and inference on the back end for every new bot that you spin up. And then as SDRs use the bot, there's a cost associated with that and a margin. That's the kind of the cost aspect of pricing. And then, you know, on the value capture aspect of pricing, you kind of think about, well, how are they solving this problem today, right?
Well,
they have to hire this trainer for $250,000 a year, and this trainer spends, you know, the entire year training SDRs, right? And maybe now you don't need the trainer. Maybe you only need the manager, right? And so you're at that $250,000 cost, maybe, you know, costs $50,000.
So that is one way to think about it. But I think the way that most folks have been seeing it in our space, right, is that the trainer can only step in for, like, you know, 2 to 3 weeks at a time, like maybe 90 days in, like, you know, the best case scenario. And the retention for the stuff that the trainer has taught drops off like super steeply. Like 3 months after the trainer is gone, everyone's forgotten, like, you know, this beautiful sales training that was helping them hit, like, you know, better goals. But we actually work with some trainers, right? We build their sales methodology into the Hyperbound platform. They use it to reinforce their training during the course of their like 3 months that they spend with the company, but also after they leave, right? Hyperbound still sticks around to help continually reinforce, you know, those methods with custom scorecards that we've built with that training strategy in mind to help, like, basically keep their SDR sharp.
I love this slant too. This is, you know, an interesting pivot where, and one of the more exciting areas of AI is where it can impact education, right? And this is like a form of education, right? Is now you have these AIs that can basically, you know, sit with you and give you this individualized one-on-one tutoring attention. We were just talking about this in the last episode of the podcast. And that's one of the more interesting impacts of AI is now everyone gets the best training at scale.
Exactly. Yeah. And in fact, this is what one of our other investors is like super, super bullish on this. I don't know if you've heard of like Roble Ventures, but they exclusively invest in like human enablement technologies. And yeah, like they were so excited when we told them that we were pivoting into this space. And totally understand, because this is a space where especially like the large language model, generative AI type stuff is incredibly helpful. Like it can learn faster than a human can with regards to like really specific niches and skills, and to transfer that knowledge back to the human is super powerful.
Yeah. So what's next? What are you guys excited for the rest of the year?
Yeah. So honestly, it's been an awesome time scaling the company. We just hired our first founding engineer. We're like formalizing a lot of our processes. Like we have a formal customer success flow now, which is awesome. Like, and we've learned so much from this. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about all of the segments of, like, you know, running and scaling this company. But from the tech side, right, I am super excited for some of the things on our roadmap. We're launching discovery calls later, you know, like basically next week. Some of our customers are already using it, but we're doing a big public launch about it. We're doing a couple of cold calling competitions with folks from Cognizant and ReachDesk and Sellbetter, like the John Barrows Sellbetter org. So super excited for that. That's also happening next week for the, I don't know when the podcast will be released, but that's like March 11th or so.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be after that. It'll probably be a couple weeks from now.
You know, got it. So people will see the results from that competition. Yeah. Really, really exciting stuff going on in the next month. And yeah, lots of exciting growth ahead.
Yeah. So on the tech stack side, did you kind of bootstrap this with one of the foundational models out there and you're now vertically integrating, or how did that all work?
Yeah. So there are a good number of models involved in the process, right? So there's models involved that do the, that generate the configuration that like basically take the user inputs and like, you know, spit out like this detailed configuration, you know, with all these objections, pain points, et cetera, right? And then there's the next set of models that actually conduct the conversation. So there's models doing transcription, there's models doing, you know, like text to text, there's models doing text back to speech. And then there's another whole set of models that go analyze that transcript and provide you feedback, scoring, you know, that type of stuff. And each of those models is like on a different foundational model at the moment, which is feels crazy to say. It's very complicated, but it does get the job done. And it lets us like use models like specifically for like their optimal purpose. Like there are some models that are really good at getting super detailed, but they're like high latency, you know, and you know, they're unreliable, they're high cost. Those might be really good for building a configuration, because in that sense, you can retry it 3 times. It's okay if it takes like 20 seconds or a minute, like that's okay.
Yeah, because just configuring one time and you don't have to instantly talk to it. Yeah,
exactly. But versus something that's like, you know, real time, like totally different ballpark, right? Like totally different set, totally different game you're playing. And same with the scoring, right? That's async. Like you can do like, you can judge 3 questions at once, you know, running them in parallel. Like, so very exciting stuff there. Like want to spend more time refining that tech stack, making it more reliable. But yeah, it's really fun.
What's interesting about MarTech sales tech, as well as you can dog food your own stuff. So eventually you'll have your own SDR that you're onboarding and you'll use your own product to train your own sales staff.
We're actually using the product right now to train ourselves, not for cold calling, but for discovery calls. So we also support discovery calls. And in fact, I feel like our discovery call bots are even better than our cold calling ones. Not gonna lie. They're really, really incredible. You can have a 30-minute conversation with one of these, getting like really in depth about like super domain specific stuff. You're like, how does the bot really understand
this? With audio.
Well? Yeah, with audio. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. That's a brave new world.
Because the thing is, like, no manager is ever going to sit down with you for 30 minutes to role play one of those scenarios.
No, like, you get bored after 5 minutes.
Exactly.
You need to go do something else. What they'll do is they'll set up SDRs with other SDRs. And so it's like the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. Like, the only way to practice is basically from, like, either speaking to another AE, because AEs are typically the ones doing these discovery calls, right? So it's either, like, take 30 minutes off your other AE's day, or literally just go practice on your prospects. Like, screw up the first, like, 100 calls, but you'll be okay after that. But, you know, no AE leader wants to see that. So
it's amazing. Yeah. Well, any last thoughts for the audience before we sign off?
Go check us out at hypermeta.ai. Yeah. Like, everything is, it's a free demo available on the site. You know, you'll be set up within 20 seconds. You can check out everything we have to offer. But yeah, you know, if you've got any questions about it, feel free to email us at founders@hyperbound.ai. We're really excited to be here in this space. So
cool. Well, congrats on the pivot and all the success so far, and look forward to watching the progress.
Of course. Nice talking to you as always, Brian.
Thanks for coming back on. Thanks, Atul.